Good morning. I love this weather. I married someone that doesn't. Between the two of us, we balance each other out. But I think it was 40 when I got up this morning. It was like, this is perfect. So if I'm smiling the whole time, I have a fan on, and I know when I go outside, it's going to be great. So anyway, I'm glad we're here. I want you to do something. I want you to use your imagination for a few minutes. I want you to think about this. What if you were really, really popular nationwide? You've done something and it's gotten a lot of good press. Everywhere you go, it seems like people adore you. You're seen as this huge success. And then you schedule a trip to go home, back to your hometown. And when you get there, everyone's excited to see you. I mean, it's like, you know, you're amazing. And we're all part of it. And they just love having you there. Maybe you go to a high school reunion and you're the hit for a little while. And then things turn. Somebody says something. They start talking about you as if somehow you think you're all that. And after a while, you see how this kind of stuff works. Someone says something and gossip starts going, and all of a sudden you've gone from being a hero to being a zero in no time. And actually you've gone to becoming, you're a target of all kind of malicious gossip, and it gets worse. There are even threats on your life and you have to leave. Short time after that, one of your very, very closest friends, someone that really understands you well and all that you've been doing, is brutally murdered. And when that happens, it crushes you because this is, it's so personal and the loss is so huge. All that's going on, and beside that, your work has been a zoo. It's just been, you don't even have time to eat. And you realize, and it makes a lot of sense, maybe I need to take a break. Maybe I just need to get away for a little bit and recharge my batteries and try to figure out what the next steps are. If you can imagine that, then you can understand where Jesus was in the story I'm going to read to you today. It's exactly what happened to him. He'd gone back to his hometown. They celebrated him for a while, then they wanted to kill him. He's gone, and then he finds out his really, really close friend and cousin John has been brutally murdered by the king in a political move. That's where it is. You read John or Mark chapter 6, you'll see this, and I'm going to start off. You'll have this on the screen, how Jesus responds. He's with his disciples, and he goes, Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. And some people say, well, he wasn't a very good time management guy, was he? A lot going on. He was extremely popular for all kinds of reasons, but he was also unpopular for other reasons. But there was nonstop work going on. Verse 32, so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead of the along the shore to get there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he said, turn around quick, let's get out of here. That's what I would have done. Without even a hesitation. I'm ready for a break, and I show up, and there's this huge crowd to greet me coming off the boat. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began to teach them many things. I remember the first time I read this, and I really was stunned. I've always been a non-crowd person. My goal is to live in the mountains where occasionally you might bring people in, but they would never be able to find you otherwise. And here Jesus is, handling it in such a remarkable way. No, and the truth is, for some of us, if we showed up and there was this huge crowd that couldn't wait to see us, we'd be flattered. Well, of course they're here to see me. Why wouldn't they? And just eat it up. Feed your ego. Others like me would just be utterly frustrated. Don't they know what I'm going through? Why can't they leave me alone? Jesus was neither flattered nor frustrated. He was motivated differently, and he made a choice to be faithful to what his Father called him to do. He lets a healthy compassion override the plan that he had, a good plan. If anyone needed a break, he did. But there was a healthy kind of compassion he had that allowed the plan to be changed. And he models for us how to live in a world where there are all kind of things and opportunities in front of us that we need to make choices in. What we know about Jesus is that he never made any decisions or any choices without praying first. He would evaluate, he'd pray, and then he'd move forward. And he always wanted to be faithful. This was how he operated all the time, and this is what he's called us to do. So let's pray, and then we're going to see what we can learn from this. God, all of us have our standard operating procedure. Sometimes it's just by default. And then you come along and you're trying to reorient us to what it means to be faithful, what it means to follow you in all circumstances. So I pray that you would speak to all of us, me included today. That we would hear your voice, we would learn, and we would apply what we learn. Please speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. So, I'm going to go through a few lessons in this. The first couple don't really seem to have anything to do with the topic. I don't know what to do with that. I can't blame anybody but me. I camped out on this passage for a long time, and these are some things that are takeaways that don't have anything to do with compassion. I'll get to compassion in a few minutes. The first thing is that following God doesn't always appear to make sense. It's not that it doesn't make sense, it's just that it doesn't appear from our vantage point that it does. Jesus' situation, certainly a break was called for. A way to get away and kind of recharge and rethink and kind of get reoriented. And there are many times when that's called for, but there are going to be some times when God is going to call an audible because he has an agenda that is counterintuitive for us in the moment. And I could give tons of examples. I've learned from so many of you about how to do this. I've watched a lot of you that if you've gone through some things that challenged you in the moment. It could have been family, could have been friends, could have been neighbors, could have been a variety of circumstances. And you've sacrificed your own needs to come alongside and help somebody in a situation that no one was necessarily expecting. Given up time, money, plans, opportunities to put someone else first. And it's an amazing thing to watch. It's one of the advantages of being part of a church community. Not every opportunity requires giving it up like Jesus did here. But we ought to be people that are regularly praying and asking God for his insight and not just going by how we feel. Pray and ask for advice. Ask others around us if we're not really sure what to do, but just be careful that we're trusting God and obeying and not just on autopilot. Sometimes God asks us to do things that just don't seem to make sense. Another thing that God does is he gives us opportunities that are sometimes very, very inconvenient. The word convenient's a funny word. It means suitable for my personal comfort. Any of you that watch TV today, you're going to see all kind of ads that are designed for you to get something that is suitable for your personal comfort. It could be a car, it could be those shoes that you don't have to tie anymore. It could be some kind of food. It's all kind of stuff that is designed to make you comfortable with where you are. Can you imagine if everybody around you operated this way? What they're comfortable with? Can you imagine if parents always did what was comfortable for the parent? Or doctors? Or EMS? Or firefighters? Or law enforcement? Can you imagine the chaos that we would live in if everybody did what was just personally comfortable for them? Yet, it's real easy for us to gravitate toward that in big decisions and little decisions in our lives. My contention is this, that a life of convenience only builds self-centeredness. If I build my life around what's convenient for me, suitable for my personal comfort, then eventually I'm just going to be utterly self-centered. And that's just chaos. Can you imagine the decision Jesus made? He and his disciples, they've seen what he's gone through. They saw what happened in his hometown where he was utterly rejected. They've seen what happened when John was killed and brutally murdered. And they know their enemies out to get Jesus too. And they realized, man, it is good to take a break. We really need this. Jesus definitely needs it. And they show up, and then the first thing Jesus says is, guys, we're going to stay here with the crowd. We got work to do. Can you imagine how frustrated they were at him and probably disappointed? They were thinking about, man, we play a little golf or some soccer or we cook out some. And now, no, we got this huge, and there's thousands of people. But as the day went on, and it was a long day, they began to watch some things. They got to see Jesus not just gutting it out, but they saw him have energy. They saw him have patience and stamina and grace. There are times when God leads us to do things that are extremely inconvenient, but he never leads us to do those things without giving us the resources to accomplish it. He will never lead us someplace that he will not supply all we need. If you read this story in Mark 6, and I'd really encourage you to, it's a fascinating chapter of one of the biographies of Jesus. The day goes on, it's a really long day, and all these thousands of people have been listening to him. And Jesus saw in them something. He realized there was something they needed. This wasn't just a crowd of people. They were hungry for something important, and he knew he had what they needed. Gets near the end of the day, and they're all going to have to go back home, but they've come a long way, and Jesus looks at his disciples, and their day gets much worse. He said, why don't you guys figure out how to feed these thousands of people, because I don't want them to go home hungry. I want them to have the energy to get there. What a logistical nightmare. Even if each of them had packed their own lunch, there wasn't enough food. And they scrounge around, and they find 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Basically, an extra large Happy Meal. That's all they got. And they're supposed to feed. And they come to Jesus. And I'm sure their attitude was kind of like, really? This is all we've got. This is it. Jesus prays and begins distributing the food. They hand it out to groups of people, and the disciples are in charge of all that. At the end of that, it's one of the most amazing miracles in the New Testament is all these thousands are fed with all they need. And the only ones watching this probably were his disciples. Each of them, when it was all done, they had a basket of food left. 12 baskets left. Each of them is holding one. Each basket has got more food than what they originally started with. And yet they fed all these people. And what they got to learn in this is that God may guide in inconvenient ways, but he will always provide what we need to get through it. Now, I'm going to get into compassion. Compassion is a choice. It's not merely a feeling. We live in an interesting time in our country where compassion and empathy get kind of negative connotations. Compassion basically just means it's caring for somebody else and then acting accordingly. It's not just observing. It's not just being aware that someone's got something or having some feelings of sorrow for them, but it's like empathy in action. And it's really, really critical that we understand this. Again, it said, Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This wasn't just a crowd looking for a meal. He hadn't done this thing before. They had come because they were hungry for something real and something true. They were used to a religion that was all about do's and don'ts and all about control and all about in crowd and out crowd. And they saw something in Jesus that was very, very different. And they wanted to learn more. And he understood that. He gave up his vacation time because this was the opportunity to grab hold of. There were other times when Jesus had crowds and he left. If you go back to chapter 1 of Mark, there was a time a huge crowd and they all wanted him to stay, and he went out and prayed and he said, the Father wants me to move on, and he did. He didn't play to the crowd. He didn't play against them. He just listened to his Father. The thing about compassion is it always need to be coupled with truth and prayer. Compassion that isn't linked and coupled with truth can get in, it can get you in all kinds of trouble. It's you just operating by how you feel. And I know some people right now that are struggling because they feel like there's so many opportunities around them and they just feel, I can't meet them all, and they're just kind of in a whirlwind. Compassion coupled with truth and prayer is a powerful tool. And God doesn't want us to operate either out of guilt or cynicism. Guilt is, I got to do everything. Cynicism is, I'm not going to help them because I'm sure they'll use it for some wrong reason. We're surrounded by it, aren't we? How many times do you go by someone and they're on the side of the street and you can, I bet they're going to just buy cigarettes with that money. I know those kind of people. No, you don't. You don't know that person. Probably don't. Compassion, this is something that God wants built into us. And he wants us to be wise in showing compassion like we see in Jesus. We learn to vet opportunities and pray and listen and follow his lead. At New Hope, we do this regularly. We have benevolence money that we'll give, but we vet the opportunities that come. We're not, just because someone says they need something doesn't mean they necessarily do. We're not going to assume either way. We're going to check it out. We're going to talk to them. And we offer people someone to help them with their finances. And that, I won't get into that. Sometimes people, I don't want anyone meddling. I just want money. We work with partners, LCAC. We work with BGAV and other groups that are good at vetting too, and they're finding out where are the real needs and are they going to be used rightly, and how can we play into that? It's compassion needs to have an anchor to it, and that needs to be anchored to truth. I'm going to give you two bonus verses today. These are free. I guess the whole message is really. I'll have to figure that. I'll have to think that through. But anyway, out of compassion, I'm going to give you these two kind of guides for us. And for some of you, you're going to get angry when I do this, and that's okay. Sometimes empathy can be misplaced. I know parents that over the years have done their kids' homework for them. I don't want my kid to fail. I don't want him to, that'd be horrible if they failed. So I'll just do it for them. I'll do their projects for them. I'll do their homework, and they'll learn. They'll watch me do it. Yeah, they'll learn all right, but maybe not what you're hoping they will. There's a principle in the Bible that guides us so that our empathy doesn't outweigh sound judgment. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. There's a church, and there were some people in that church that they had all the capacity and ability. They just weren't willing to work. They were just glad for someone else to do everything for them and to feed them. And The admonition here is those that are unwilling to work will not eat. Well, that doesn't sound very kind. If someone is able but unwilling, and then I come in and I take care of them, what have I done? I've subsidized either immaturity or foolishness. Now, this presupposes that you understand that someone is able and unwilling. We can't just draw a conclusion about it. That's what we do culturally if we're not careful. But there are times when someone wants help, they are doing without, but it's because they've not been willing to do what they could do. They haven't wanted to. They're just looking for you to support them. Don't do it. Here's another one. If that didn't get you angry, this next one really will. Jesus said this about related to compassion. He goes, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward for heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. There are times when God shows care and concern for people that don't have any interest in him at all. In fact, maybe seriously against him. Compassion is a choice. Compassion needs to be rooted in truth and faithfulness to our Heavenly Father. And I'm sure some of you are thinking, I'm just not empathetic. I'm not a compassionate kind of person. I married an empath. Becky is the, I don't know anybody that is more empathetic than Becky. I promise you, she, at 9 o'clock, I was pointing her out. She could look in this room and probably with uncanny accuracy tell how each of you is doing. She can look around and she goes, that person's really struggling or that person's doing well. What? She just has this, it's the way God's wired her. The problem with it sometimes is she doesn't know how to turn it off. She can be like an emotional chameleon. And I'm the opposite. I have learned so much from her. And we make an okay team with this. And I have said before, I'm just not empathetic or compassionate. And the answer to that is, start learning. It's not a feeling. It's not a, you're born that way or not. It's a command. It's standard operating equipment for followers of Jesus. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. I need to learn, how is God, how does he treat us? What does his compassion look like? And I need to model myself after that. Anything less than that is a terrible excuse and dishonors him. I'm going to give you a final thought. And if I haven't upset you so far, this probably will tip the scales. I get asked every so often, and some of you the same thing, is why does God allow really tough, horrible, bad, difficult things to happen to people that follow him? I've prayed for God to heal me and he hadn't. I've prayed for this to go away and it hadn't. What's wrong? Why isn't God responding? My understanding is, I know some of it, I don't know all of it by any stretch, but God uses struggles in our lives to equip and deploy us to show compassion to others. He's training us to become compassionate. And sometimes that means going through something. When I had cancer, prior to that, I'd acknowledge that's a tough thing you're going through. Going through it, I have a very different perspective. You know, I've wondered sometimes, when someone becomes a follower of Jesus, why didn't they just immediately get shipped to heaven? Wouldn't that be great? There are actually two problems with that. One is, if all of us went to heaven, there'd be no one explaining to people how they could become a follower of Jesus. We'd lose the representation. And the other is, God's got bigger plans than us just being comfortable and living convenient lives right now. He's got work for us to do. He allows us to go through things so we can learn some things, so we can learn to identify with people around us. And as they watch us tap into what God offers, then they could discover maybe an interest to follow him too. 2 Corinthians 1, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. One of the compelling reasons to be vitally connected to a local church, and that's could be small group, it could be working on a ministry team, working on projects that we do together, is to be exposed and to see how God is working in and through people going through all kinds of things. The connection allows us to grow together and to experience what it is that God offers, how he comforts in the midst of problems he doesn't take away, but he brings his presence and his help and all the resources we need to walk through it. I'm in a men's small group, and I dearly love the men in our group. There are a lot of things that I have learned watching them. I've seen people deal with health issues and cancer. Some have been healed, others have not been. And watching them walk through that with courage and conviction and allowing everybody in the group to come alongside and help. I've seen some people lose their jobs. Some that are not being paid right now. And how they walk through it. How they handle it. How they do it with courage and strength. And I've seen people deal with divorce, injustice, having family and friends that have dealt with and are still dealing with mental illness and the struggles that go along with that, and watching them trust Jesus in the midst of that and to move forward is inspiring. Doesn't sell many books. Most of the books are, I used to be this and now I'm this. But I want to tell you that God is in the business of carrying us through a lot. And he will. And there's something inspiring about that when you get to watch courage and strength and care. And I got quite a few heroes and heroines in our church watching you guys walk through things. So let me close with this. The message was supposed to be about compassion, so I touched on it a little bit, I guess. One is that when you see Jesus, how he handled the circumstances he was in, it gives you a picture there's a God that's ready to help at any point that we're open. It may be that you've never accepted Christ, you're trying to figure it out. Maybe you used to walk with him, but you kind of gave up because things weren't going how you thought it would. Or other Christians didn't do this compassion thing very well. Don't give up on God. Please don't give up. The other is that God wants to use every one of us here, those of us that know him, to be his hands and his feet and his voice of compassion and kindness to people around us. Remember, it's caring in action. Compassion coupled with truth, and to get involved and get to know people and love them and care about them. Pray about opportunities and see how he leads. He will never mislead us, and he will sometimes create opportunities that are not convenient. But at the end of the day, you discover they were God ordained and you wouldn't trade them for anything. Let's pray. God, it's easy for us to live in a time where we're exposed to so many things going on and to all kind of needs and disasters and problems and all that. We're exposed to all of it, but we don't really examine much of it. We keep our distance. Some of us, we're really uncomfortable when people are struggling, so we just stay away. You want us deployed. You want us, all of us that know you and your church, you want us to be deeply involved in caring with the kind of compassion that Jesus had. Forgive us for the times when we just go for convenience. Help us to be willing to pray, listen, and follow your lead. And for anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that they would see through Jesus. A God who cares. Amen. I mentioned this and I wanted to show you a quick video. If you've never accepted Jesus or you're not really sure about that, we'd love to talk to you after the service. I'll be down in the front after the last two songs. I'd love to talk with you if possible. I'm going to show you a video. As a church, we're trying to do everything we can to be God's hands of compassion. I'm wearing this shirt. This shirt represents $106 that covered the meal for someone for 1 year through FMSC. The shirt doesn't feed anybody. It's just a reminder that something was done on their behalf. We do things like this along the way that are above and beyond our regular giving. Our regular giving, your support to the church in general, it kind of helps keep the engine running that allows us to do all these other things we do. And the above and beyond would be things like FMSC, and Javi will mention some of that in a minute. Our giving really does make a difference locally, but also throughout the country. And this video kind of help you see what some things we're able to do because we pool our resources together. So when you're thinking about giving, be prayerful, and know that God is working.